धन्यवाद अभिषेक. थैंक यू अभिषेक. एंड डियर लिसनर्स, साई राम फ्रॉम प्रशांतिनिलयम, द मोस्ट हैपनिंग प्लेस ऑन द प्लैनेट, एज आई ऑलवेज से. एंड ग्रीटिंग्स फ्रॉम दिस डिवाइन हैमलेट ऑन दिस न्यू ईयर 2013. In Prashantinilayam, the new year began with the alumni of Bhagwan schools and colleges making their offering of love to Baba. More than 500 former students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Sri Satya Sai Primary School were here to bask in the divine bliss of His powerful presence in Prashantinilayam. New year is the time when we wish each other well, and to those who are special to us in our lives, we send them cards to remind them how much we love them and how much they mean to us in our lives. And when you come to think of it, who is the one who is most important to us in our lives, without whom do we feel lost and lonely, without whom we would not be what we are today? Who is it to whom we are grateful for so many things in our life, to whom we want to say so many things? The Lord, isn't it? Obviously. Now imagine Swami preparing a greeting card especially for you to wish you Happy New Year, and inside the card is a pearl of a prayer written by Baba himself. And there are also these endearing words that Baba has written: Bangaru, my dear one, begin the new year with the above prayer, Swami writes. Not only this, he inundates you with more love and blessings with another beautiful message. He writes, endowed with long life and sound health, surrounded by children, grandchildren and friends, continue to imbibe joy through devotion and wisdom. I bless that your days be spent in the service of Sarveshwara, the Lord of all. Spend your life in abundant peace and happiness. With love, Baba. How thrilled you would be if Baba himself made a card like this especially for you. Your heart would have skipped a few beats, leaping with inexplicable ecstasy, isn't it? Sounds too good to be true, right? But let me tell you, this is no imagination. This is exactly what Swami did for Professor Kasturi, his darling devotee, way back in 1960. And this is only half of the story. The way Swami passed on this specially crafted card to Professor Kasturi was even more exciting. The Lord did not just hand over this poem to Professor Kasturi when he came for his blessings on the dawn of the new year. On the contrary, the greeting card came gleefully to Professor Kasturi searching for him. The sweet Lord had sent the card through someone to be dropped in Bukkapatnam, which is 5 miles away, the previous day. Though the addressee, Professor Kasturi, was living just 5 meters away. The Lord wanted to give this devotee, his special one, a special surprise. That is how Professor Kasturi, Baba's biographer, began his new year almost half a century ago. That is how dear and unique and exceptional was Professor Kasturi to Baba. Dear listeners, that is the special relationship between Professor Kasturi and Baba. And that is something we are going to ruminate upon the next 60 minutes or so. You are listening to the Thursday live broadcast on Asia Stream from the studios of Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, happily at your service. The time in the studios now is 8:44, and welcome to Outside, Inside and Deep Inside, our series on Thursday nights. And today we discuss the second part of the phantasmagoric fragrance, Forever. Baba's Kasturi. And before we proceed, let us first offer our loving and prayerful salutations at His lotus feet for giving us this chance to think about Him on this new year, to have given a new direction to our lives, to have blessed us so that we know what is the true purpose of our lives, and to have been protecting, guiding and guarding us every moment of our lives. Maybe I should read out that soul-stirring prayer that Baba himself penned for Professor Kasturi on the New Year Day. It goes like this. I firmly believe there is none kinder than you to shower grace on me. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am at your lotus feet? I firmly believe you will respond quick when I do pray and plead. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am crying aloud for you? I firmly believe you are ever beside me to guide my steps aright. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am yours through day and night? I firmly believe you can never say no, whatever I ask from you. Tell me, is this not the reason why I long for a glance from you? Why have you what have you designed for me this time? Why this dire delay to offer boons? However long you may make me wait and wail, I will not leave. I will be standing still until your loving eyes do turn on me. That is the prayer written by Baba. That is how we should pray. When you read this prayer, it makes you feel that someone has so perfectly penned every pang of your heart, expressing every intimate emotion of your inner self. You are just left speechless, communicating only through the stream of tears, because it conveys what your heart feels and what you pine for. Only tears can communicate and express the feelings of the heart. And it was the same experience for Professor Kasturi too. Recalling that momentous morning when he received the card, he writes, "When the blessing was delivered by the postman along with other mail, the surprise, the thrill, the gratitude and the yearning to express it directly to Baba rendered me incapable of speech or movement." And this thrill and excitement of living with Baba was present all throughout the time he was blessed to spend in divine company and divine proximity. That was Professor Kasturi and Baba. And one of them who has watched this divine bonding between Baba and this devotee is Mr. B. N. Narasimha Murthy, the former warden of the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning.
One uniqueness of Kasturiji, which is matchless and incomparable, is he came to Swami in 1948 when Swami was 22 years old. And till he passed away on 14th of August 1987, for nearly 40 years, he had the good fortune of observing and watching and getting thrilled by the blossoming of the avatar. I don't know whether I could use that word blossoming, but the manifestation of the blossoming, at least, he watched it, and he is the only one who had that privilege from very close quarters.
So that was Mr. B. N. Narasimha Murthy. Professor Kasturi, the man who could weave magic with his words and often hailed as the Vyasa and Valmiki of the Kali age for his unsurpassable documentation of the life of the present avatar, having written the 4 volumes of Baba's biography, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, besides numerous other books and journals, He was dumbfounded and drowned in the love of his beloved and master. And the 40 years that he spent with the physical form of the Lord was a serial of sweet and uplifting exchanges with the divine. Professor Nanjundaya, the former controller of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, is another elderly devotee of the Lord who had seen Professor Kasturi in action for many years.
Professor Kasturi is a man of God, his chosen instrument, a chiseled child of the avatar of the age, a versatile personality, a man of deep scholarship, and a person of deep spiritual yearning. He is full of humanness, I should say humaneness and human qualities. He had a good combination, a beautiful combination of head and heart. His love to serve society was very much transparent and visible. His purity, innocence, childlike simplicity were writ large on his face. When I think of Professor Kasturi, I can't think of him excepting that he is a very innocent, childlike person. It is his service to man and deep spiritual yearning which drew him to Swami. I should say, he was drawn to Swami in spite of himself. He resisted, but he had to come. His dislike for miracles could not resist him from surrendering to the man of miracles. He did not like miracles. He surrendered to the man of miracles. That is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. His journey from being a critic of Swami to his total surrender to his lotus feet is highly revealing, and it is a story of Sai's mercy and compassion on Kasturi as much as Professor Kasturi's deep yearning for God.
As Professor Nanjundaya mentioned, the journey of Professor Kasturi to Swami is indeed a revealing and riveting story. The swashbuckling Kasturi of the Kannada literature fame was stunned into silence when the very first time his eyes met Baba in a devotee's residence in Bangalore. When Swami saw him, he just read him like an open book. And his first words, Baba's first words were, "Are you glad that I fixed that boy for you?" Professor Kasturi was flabbergasted with Baba's omniscience and omnipresence. Only a few days prior to this, Baba had instructed in a dream to Mr. Potti Iyer, an acquaintance of Professor Kasturi, to give his son's hand to Kasturi's daughter in marriage, though Potti Iyer had initially disinclined, hoping to find a more prosperous family to align himself with. And now Baba continued, looking at Professor Kasturi, "You wished that I intercede with Potti Iyer and make them agree, right?" The story behind the scene is this. Seeing the unstinted veneration that Potti Iyer had for Baba, Professor Kasturi had earlier said to himself, "These people, this Potti Iyer's family, they consider this silent Sai as their master. If only this Baba says a word, the family of Potti Iyer will receive my daughter Padma into their home." This is what he had said to himself, pointing to Baba's photo some time ago. And now he was dazed when Baba declared that he had in fact heard his inner mumbling. But he did not stop at that. Baba continued, "You lost a son, poor fellow. Don't worry. This boy will be a son-in-law and a son to you. Have no worries. I know you have not received from the university the status you deserve. Very soon you will receive that too. Your old mother also will be very happy now." And so on, Bhagwan went talking about every member of his family. Every syllable that Baba uttered only left Kasturi mesmerized, triggering in him mental gymnastics of a John he had never ever indulged till then. It was really hard for him to believe what he was seeing, hearing and experiencing. How could this 22-year-old with a huge fluff of kinky hair and ochre robe know everything? And as he was trying to reason this out, Baba suddenly dropped a bombshell. He said, "After retiring from the university, stay with me. You can write my biography." "Me?" Kasturi immediately ejaculated. He was simply dazed. He was trying to fathom who this person is, and out of the blue he tells him, "You're the guy who is supposed to write my life." He was dumbfounded and he stared at Bhagwan, trying to understand who this person is. But Baba went on as if nothing has happened. "I will tell you whom to contact for details. Parents, brothers, neighbors, devotees, teachers. I shall also help." This happened in July 1948 and Kasturi's mind had become a complete conundrum. He was saying to himself, was this a reprimand? Was this a dig at my decrying him? Was it a joke as my conceit as a writer? Or was it a warning that I should not merely prattle in weeklies and journals? What does he really mean by saying this to me? He kept on ruminating over this, trying to fathom the mystery unfolding on his face. Well, that was how dramatically, in a mind-boggling manner, the Lord, who had been actually directing his life undetectably for nearly 5 decades, decided to reveal himself when the time finally arrived. And describing this moment, Professor Kasturi writes in his autobiography, Loving God, "It was too good to be true, too sweet to swallow, too sudden to sink in, too light to keep in mind. Oh, the gifts he showered. From the wedding of his daughter to his promotion to his mother's happiness, Swami submerged him with his spontaneous and unceasing love. In fact, he virtually held him by the hand from there on through every single second of his life with great care, concern and affection, which overwhelmed him time and again, transmuting every cell of his being into an inspired instrument of the divine." And as we discussed in the earlier episode of this program, thanks to his classmate turned monk, Professor Kasturi joined the Ramakrishna mission during his younger days and later even became a secretary of his mission in Mysore, and he worked tirelessly to spread the gospel of Gurudev, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, and to reach out the needy, to offer service and succor. But now, once he came to Baba, he was more confounded, he was troubled. Because now there was a dilemma. He was finding it difficult to reconcile his devotion to Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa and this irresistible love for Baba, which overwhelmed his mind and heart and his soul. But he never expressed this to Baba. This was the inner conflict that was going on all the time. Am I being disloyal to Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa? Is it okay for me to be a Sai devotee? And the all-knowing Swami one day dispelled this doubt in his mind when one day he asked to his wife, when Kasturi was around, Swami said, "Poor fellow, he does not know that it was Ramakrishna who brought him to me. He does not know that it was Ramakrishna who brought him to me." When Kasturi heard this, his confusions were sealed forever. The next few years, till he settled in Baba's physical proximity, Kasturi's heart was in Prashanti, and if there was any comma, semicolon or question mark in his life at Bangalore, he found himself at beloved's feet, at Bhagwan's feet in this heaven of peace. If there was any chance he could get even a half day's leave, he was in Prashantinilayam. And each such encounter with the Lord was an eye-opener. Swami was studying, shaping and sharpening his dearest devotee at every available opportunity. On one occasion, Baba asked him, "Kasturi, which tastes better? Hot milk made lukewarm by being poured from one cup to another a number of times, or hot milk cooled to the temperature of the tongue by the cup being kept for some time in a basin of cold water? Which tastes better, Kasturi?" The professor was imaginably totally befuddled. Why was Baba asking this, and how is he supposed to know about this? But Swami went on. He actually gave a clue. He said, "When you go back, ask your mother. Also tell her what she does is not correct." Only when Kasturi returned and discovered that her mother quickly cooled the milk every day using a basin of cold water before placing it in front of Baba's picture as prasadam, only when he heard this from his mother did he realize that the all-pervasive power and presence of his magnificent master. That is how the faith began to sprout and blossom in the heart of this dear devotee of the Lord. And soon, one after another, all the promises that Baba had made found fulfillment. Baba's promise of higher salary and status in his career materialized. A university order sent Mr. Kasturi to the intermediate college Davangere as its principal. But the Davangere college was no walk or even dance in the park, so to say. And he described in his book that this tenure as principal was like a damosel sword. But Mr. Kasturi, through his patient and loving personality, his harikathas and his seva to harijans, by his social service, his educational exhibitions and persuasive and powerful presentations, successfully canalized the exuding energy of the youth, and in the process, in fact, created history in that hostile environment. On the day he retired, after 5 years, the love the college and the place had for him was patent. The crowd that gathered to see him off was huge, and the flower garlands that were heaped upon him nearly covered his whole face. Later, when Kasturi offered his gratitude to Bhagwan for seeing him through in that notorious place, the kind Lord immediately transmuted the sky in his hand into a rosary of tulsi beads and placed it lovingly around his neck. He materialized a beautiful rosary and decorated Professor Kasturi with this gift. Kasturi, conquered yet again by his pure love, was left wondering how the Lord, who actually is the doer, takes great pleasure in decorating his devotees with laurels and rewards. But those 5 years of Kasturi in Davangere, 1949 to 1954, were in fact riddled with remarkable experiences both at the college and at his physical presence in Prashantinilayam, to which he visited as often he could. In December 1951, Kasturi was surprised to find in his day's mail a letter from Baba in the language Kannada, written in English script, requesting him, yes, it was a request from Baba, to Kasturi to unveil his portrait, Baba's portrait, at the school day function of Satya Sai Baba District Board High School at Bukkapatnam, which is 10 kilometers from Puttaparthi. So Kasturi was being invited to that function as a chief guest. And when Mr. Kasturi reached the divine presence a few days later with a well-prepared manuscript of his Telugu speech, which was written in Kannada, because he neither knew at that time how to read, write or understand Telugu, and he had written in Kannada a Telugu speech, and he thought he would impress all. But when Baba came to know of it, he immediately massacred the idea. He said, "No, it must be artificial. It should not be artificial. Speak from your heart." And Professor Kasturi on that appointed day not only gave an inspiring speech in English, but also was immensely humbled when he saw the boards declare him as N. Kasturi, M.A., B.L., Ph.D., Principal, D.R.M. College, Davangere. And the moment he saw this, Professor Kasturi fell at Baba's feet and he pleaded, "Swami, I am not a Ph.D." But the compassionate Lord only smiled. He patted him and he said, "No, Kasturi, you are a Ph.D." And then immediately he said, "Baba, of which university?" Then the Lord turned to him again and said, "Puttaparthi University. Puttaparthi University." Little did Kasturi realize then that it was not a casual utterance without meaning. Professor Kasturi in this episode was in fact the Lord's chosen instrument through whom Baba intimated to the world about the most salient facet of his grand mission, the education mission, of which the Bukkapatnam school was then only a starting point. 3 decades later, when the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning was inaugurated in Puttaparthi, Professor Kasturi was present, savoring every second of that significant occasion. But in those days, very new to the avatar and his ways, he was always left wondering, and he even tried to test the Lord and play with the Lord, trying to fathom the mystery of the phenomenon he was dealing with. In fact, on one occasion, when he learned from a few people who had close encounters with Baba that if Baba saw a gem set ring in the finger of the devotee, he would more often than not ask for it, blow his breath over it and transform it into a ring with his portrait embedded on it. When he learned about this, what he did was he got a big gold ring made for himself and he tried to make it as conspicuous as possible whenever he was in his presence. He would fold his hands in such a manner that this ring became visible. While taking namaskar, he would do it in such a manner that Baba would somehow see this ring. But Baba's eyes never seemed to fall on the ring. And Swami actually made him go through this for 2 full years. He never asked for the ring, even though Kasturi tried in every way to show it to him. But on the next day, after his Bukkapatnam speech, which was a great success and Baba liked it, he was inside the interview room and Baba on this day suddenly held out his hand asking for the ring, and shaking with excitement, Professor Kasturi placed it immediately in Baba's hands. Yeah, and he expected that wonderful transformation of that ring. But Baba, the moment he took the ring in his hands, he said, "Oh, you desire to have a big picture so that you can preen yourself as a big devotee, so everyone would envy you and it would make you famous. Is that right?" Professor Kasturi did not know what to say. He put his head down and Baba said, "No. Know this. Your heart is my home. Instead of having me on the ring, have me in your heart. That is my true home." And then the divine blew his breath on the ring, and he did it once, and Professor Kasturi still waited with bated breath for the ring to transform into something beautiful, something which had Baba's picture on it in gold or maybe silver, and Baba blew on it second time, but nothing happened. And the third time, and now he was ready to catch the new creation. His whole being was filled with that expectation, and suddenly the expectation and the excitement slumped. He saw Baba's fingers, Baba's hand, and the ring had disappeared. It was simply not there. 3 times Baba blew over it and it was not there. At least he had a ring. Now there was nothing. The poor professor's face was like a punctured balloon, all air puffed out. The money he had spent to get a gold ring also was now not there. And what Swami did after that, as if nothing had happened, is he gave Professor Kasturi vibhuti packets as parting prasadam and sweetly opened the door of the interview room, asking him indirectly to to step out. And the old devotee, with a heavy heart, stepped out of the room. But as he was doing this, scarcely had he made a few steps when the compassionate Lord beckoned him near Kasturi. And very sympathetically, Swami told him, "You want your ring back, no?" And now a charming smile flashed on Bhagwan's lips. His hand waved and weaved out of the thin air a ring extolled in the legends. It was a Navaratna, a 9-gem beauty, 3 in each row, which it is believed could bestow one with boons from the 9 planets. The gracious Lord slipped it onto Professor Kasturi's finger and then said something very profound. He said, "Now you will not be announcing me as yours even before I acknowledge that you are mine." That is the reason why he did not give a ring with his portrait on it. Baba continued to say, "This ring is worn by many who believe that the Navagrahas, the 9 planets, have to be propitiated. By and by, you will discover that my anugraha, my grace, can overcome the sinister designs of the 9 planets, the Navagraha. In any case, until then, until you realize this, have this ring." So that is how Baba taught him, and through him to all of us, this profound lesson. When his anugraha is there, when his grace is there, what can Navagraha, what can 9 planets, or what can anybody do to us? And how many times did the ever guarding and gracious Lord not rescue him? There is a very beautiful incident narrated by Mr. Sanjay Sahani, the current principal of the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning. Let's listen to this.
Swami had this amazing ability to remove all our false pretensions. Once a Rajkumar with his family happened to come to Prashantilayam. The new law was passed by the government and the privy purses were abolished. And this poor fellow came and cried before Kasturi. And Kasturi foolishly on his behalf pleaded with Swami, "Swami, poor man, he has only monkey nuts to eat." Swami put up a very grim face but did not respond. After several days, Kasturi realized that he had made a mistake. And when he broached the subject with Swami, Swami said, "Monkey nuts, when you are expressing your grief at the other person's misery, is it genuine grief? What did you do for them? What did you do for their children at least? And you are trying to tell me to intercede on his behalf." Then Professor Kasturi requested one of his acquaintances and got that person a job. Fortunately for Professor Kasturi, that Rajkumar left that job and joined somewhere else, and after some time he became the cashier of some business and he stole all the cash, which was later on reported by Swami to Professor Kasturi, and Swami said, "See, this is what that person has done, and the other day you were pleading on his behalf, but I saved you anyway. I saw to it that he left your acquaintance much before he did any such mischief." So Swami is the all-knowing one. He knows everything through and through. And this is what Kasturi used to tell, that Swami need not have to be told about anything because he himself is the all-knowing one.
So that was Mr. Sanjay Sahani narrating that beautiful incident of how Bhagwan always is protecting this devotee like the apple of his eye. And here is another incident. During a vacation month, when Professor Kasturi was at Bangalore, his office at Davangere sent him a check to be signed and returned in the official envelope that was enclosed. When Kasturi alighted from a city bus and arrived at the post office to send it, it was pouring cats and dogs. And he was petrified when he reached the post office, not because of the rain, but because of his wet pockets. Not only because they were wet, but because they were empty. He searched frantically for the check on all the roads he had crossed, but no avail. And worse, he had not noted the number of the check anywhere to be able to inform the treasury about the mishap and save its misuse, the misuse of the check. So in panic, he climbed the night train to Davangere, which is about 260 kilometers from Bangalore, and he was at his office at 8 a.m. the next day, and he summoned his accountant to explore ways to repair the damage. And in the next few minutes, when he's at his office, he finds in his room the postman with a bundle of covers. He inspects the just arrived mail, and what a surprise. One of them is the same registered post with the check safely inside that he lost in Bangalore. Looked like some kind soul had picked it up and dropped it in the post box. And as Kasturi narrates, it had traveled with me by the night train and come to my office as soon as I reached there. For him, it was Swami who had saved him from embarrassment, from ignominy, and a blotch of inefficiency in his illustrious career as a principal. Again, during the university exam, when he opened and distributed the question papers for History of India, while the timetable had all the students come prepared for History of Great Britain, he did not know where to hide his face. The wrong question papers were opened. He closed the door and he cried in front of the portrait of Baba. It was no ordinary blunder. The whole process of preparing a new question paper, printing and parcelling it to 15 centres had to be undertaken now by the university head office in just 6 days. It was impossible. Kasturi was devastated. With tears, he spelt out his gruesome fate in front of Baba's photo, and then, gathering courage, he boarded the night train to Mysore, the city of the university head office. He landed early morning and straight he went to the house of the registrar, who was fortunately a friend of his. The registrar comforted Kasturi when he said that the other two members of the board of examiners for history were in the city at that time, and if he can get the new question paper by 2 p.m. that day, he could arrange to get it printed in the government press and have it dispatched by the night. But before anything can be done, Professor Kasturi had to first meet the Vice Chancellor. And Vice Chancellor would be available only at 10:30, because he was busy in a historic meeting on education being attended by the Chief Minister of the state. And that meeting was punctuated with unruly scenes because there were students outside the venue who were creating a ruckus. Finally, when Professor Kasturi caught a glimpse of the Vice Chancellor, the Vice Chancellor saw that Professor Kasturi was crestfallen. So he expected that there was more bad news from another student population at Davangere. The Vice Chancellor asked coldly, "So what is the news?" And then Professor Kasturi politely presented his plight. And to his surprise, the Vice Chancellor was glad. Kasturi was shocked, pleasantly shocked. The Vice Chancellor said, "During all these years, Professor Kasturi, you have kept Davangere students quiet. Look at the students here, they are so notorious." "Don't worry, Kasturi, such mistakes do happen even in the best regulated institutions." And then the Vice Chancellor summoned the registrar in, and the new paper was set. And once this was done, it was signed by the required authorities and sent for dispatch. The Vice Chancellor even gave a friendly pat on Professor Kasturi's back and said, "Carry on, Mr. Kasturi, do not lose your sense of humor." It was a complete unexpected turn of events. And the next day, Kasturi was in Puttaparthi, and when Baba called him in, the professor pleaded, "Swami, I do not want to continue as the head of the college. It is too much of a burden. There are too many things to deal with." And as he was saying this, Swami cut him. Swami said, "What did happen really? I know you opened one packet instead of another. You were simply weeping in front of me. And yes, in that office room. I know your bosses, he sent you with a pat on your back as if you have done something commendable. Don't I know?" "This is not the first time, Kasturi. Go on. Go on stumbling. I will follow, saving you from every hurt." This is what Baba said. The benevolent Baba, who cared for him, who comforted him, and virtually carried him in his arms for all the rest of the 30 years of his life that he spent in his close proximity. When Kasturi retired in 1954 with a full year's pension, Swami suggested that he go on a spiritual pilgrimage to North India, taking his mother and wife along. And he added, purchase 3 railway tickets for the journey. We 4 can travel on those. And how many instances did he experience when he felt that fourth person so much there? When their hostesses in Delhi sent a phonogram to the Ramakrishna Ashram in Vrindavan informing them of Kasturi's arrival, at the receiver's end, the decoded message had, instead of Kasturi's name, Baba in it. The whole trip similarly was a series of visible and invisible manifestations of Baba's love and presence. And after reaching Bangalore, when Professor Kasturi wrote a letter to Swami, who was then in Kodaikanal, describing all the thrilling tales of his grace, Baba simply replied, I am happy you returned full of joy. How can delay, disappointment or danger cross your plans when Swami is ever with you? My name is not distinct from my form. This is what Baba said. My name is not distinct from my form, dear Kasturi. Such a loving Lord, whom Professor Kasturi calls the embodiment of inexhaustible compassion, blessed him with the opportunity of being an inmate of his hallowed heaven with a tiny tenement to the right of the Prashantinilayam Mandir in 1954. Swami gave him a small dwelling in Prashantinilayam in 1954. He was one among the 8 which stood in a row, 8 houses. And in his autobiography, Kasturi shares many accounts of how Swami used to play and pun with them through his plethora of pranks, and at the same time prick and purify their habits and attitudes. And that explains why Swami had aptly named that block of 8 houses as Vrindavan, reminiscent of where Lord Krishna spent his charming childhood playing with his peers. One day when Kasturi and his family were looking towards the northern direction, waiting for Baba to grace their house, as he was in there already in the neighbor's house and he could step out at any moment, the sweet Lord managed to tactfully get through their back door and tiptoe silently from behind and quickly place his palms at Kasturi's eyes and ask, tell who? That was how much Baba loved the company of the 60-year-old dear devotee. It was a fantastic period of spiritual honeymoon, if we can call that. It was a honeymoon of divine ecstasy for Kasturi and his family when Sai would suddenly walk into their house any day and regale them with his melodious voice, singing great Carnatic music classics, or drown them with laughter with his on-the-spot constructed ripticulas. During this time, Kasturi also had the fabulous fortune of witnessing thrilling miracles and manifestations of the Lord associated with festivals like Dasara, when from the divine brow of the Lord would emerge Vibhuti, the sacred kumkum or flashes of light. Swami even materialized Kailash Vibhuti, especially for him, which was hot and could have actually scalded his palm. During Ram Navami, when Baba transfigured the sands of Chitravati into scintillating idols of Lord Rama, Sita, Lakshmana and Hanuman, followed by a shining silver plate, Baba said, how can these 4 remain separate entities? They have to be together. And that is why the silver plate emerged. Professor Kasturi saw this. He was a witness to the festival celebrating the birth of Krishna when Baba himself so deftly, diligently and delightfully decorated the statue of Lord Krishna with bracelets and bands and gems and jewelry. The one and only Vaikuntha Ekadasi festival, when Swami opened the vault of heaven for all the devotees, when he materialized the legendary Amrit, the nectar, not by a wave of his hand or pouring it from his cupped palms, but from which nectar was first gained, as Baba said, from that place, from that object from which nectar was first gained, Baba brought out from the sands a large and white conch, and from that empty shining shell, nectar fell slowly and fragrantly till it filled a silver vessel to its brim. Professor Kasturi witnessed this, he experienced this, he was present. Stunning Shivratri, when from Baba's gullet gushed forth one after one 9 lingams, and the munificent Sai Shiva later graced and sanctified Professor Kasturi when he gave him one of those 9 lingams for his daily worship. And of course, the birthday of his beloved Lord. On his birthday, Baba blessed him and his wife with the unparalleled chance of anointing his hair. Kasturi was literally in heaven. He was virtually in that heaven of ecstasy, spending every moment of his retired life with great relish. But in 1956, the divine decided to retire him for the world, and in spite of his reluctance to leave his presence, Baba convinced him to accept the offer of the post of producer of programs for the newly established All India Radio station in Bangalore. And how Baba sent him there is a nice story.
In 1954, 3 years later, when he retired, he came to Swami and said, Swami, I want to come to Prashantalim and do Swami's work. And just then he had an offer from All India Radio. In fact, it may be a very interesting thing for you to know that the word Akashavani, which is so popular and so broadcast every day, was coined by him actually. The word Akashavani was coined by him. And there was an offer for him to become the producer of the programs in the Mysore radio station. And he came with that and prayed to Swami, I'll come and settle down here. Then Swami asked him, what about that radio offer from radio? And he said, Swami, please permit me to come and settle down. Why you want to come here and settle down? Swami, I want to do your work. Then Swami asked him, why do you think All India Radio is not mine? You think All India Radio is not mine? That was his initiation into the path of Karma Yoga. Of course, he was a spiritual aspirant. In fact, he was a great devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. And in fact, he was the secretary of the Ramakrishna Ashram in Mysore for many years. And I can, without any hesitation, tell you that he was a beautiful flower offered by Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa at the lotus feet of our Lord. He was such a fully blossomed flower. And that's how Swami initiated him into karma, the path of Karma Yoga. That is, when we think that everything belongs to Swami, all work that we do belongs to Swami. So we don't compartmentalize, say this is Swami's work, this is my work, this is somebody's work. All work in the world is God's work, and the right attitude to do the work is to do it as God's work. See, that is the secret of Karma Yoga.
So that was Mr. B. N. Narasimhamurthy recalling how the Divine had started inculcating in his dearest disciple the tenets for spiritual development. Do you think you will be serving someone else there? All jobs are for me. This is a gift of grace. Go, you are not going away from me. Do that work as God's work. That was Baba's assurance. And what a lesson for all of us. Dear listeners, you are listening to the Asia Stream on Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and we are discussing the life of Professor Kasturi, the architect of Baba's biography. So as we talked about how Baba trained him in Karma Yoga, the person who coined the name Akashvani was now once again engaged creating and crafting radio programs and infusing them with vigor and color and variety and candor. At every slightest opportunity, Kasturi rushed the 100 miles to bask in his presence, because every moment he was not there in Prashantinilam, he wanted to make up for it. And the compassionate Lord even allowed him during this time to take a long leave and accompany him to Delhi, to Rishikesh, to Vrindavan and Kashmir. In fact, he was indeed the Lord's companion in every trip, and that is what people who have seen Professor Kasturi and seen Baba vouch for. Because wherever Baba went, Professor Kasturi always was with him.
Those days Swami used to travel quite a lot. Quite a lot Swami would travel. Wherever Swami went, he was a part and parcel of the team. In fact, Kasturi would tell us, "I am the luggage of Swami." One day Swami had gone somewhere. He had gone to, I think, Madanapalli or somewhere. I came to Puttaparthi. And Kasturiji was here. I was surprised. I asked, "Sir, how you are here?" "I am the suitcase, yeah? Wherever he leaves, I will be here." Suitcase has no free will. So I am like a suitcase of Swami. If he leaves it here, I am here. If he takes it, I will go. That's what he said. Many such incidents are there. And I remember two incidents at this point of time come to my mind. I mean, he used to talk to us about those incidents in great detail. And he was a great actor also. In fact, he was not just a speaker. When he speaks, you know, he will enact those scenes. And very graphically it will come up in your mind what, how Swami would be and all that. So once Kasturi had gone with Swami to East Africa. And Kasturi would explain to us, you know, things that happened there. One accident. "No, I'm eagerly looking for an accident," he would say. "What, sir, you're looking for an accident?" "I know, yeah, one accident happened in Africa when we went there. And how much love Swami showered on me. And if I get involved in an accident again, I will get that." That's what he would say. Sometimes he would say, "I want to fall sick." You know, when I fall sick, Swami is very, very loving and kind to me. And he explained to us, in Africa it seems, Swami had to give a speech. And crowd was so much, and he was following in a car. The car got stuck somewhere. And Swami is standing on the stadium, and announcement is being made by somebody. Kasturi is requested to come here, Swami wants to speak, and he has to translate. And he got stuck somewhere. He couldn't reach the stage at all. And Swami spoke in Swahili language. Their language of that people, those people, Swami spoke it since there. See, then he said, "See, because I couldn't reach there, I could see another facet of Swami's power, glory." He would say that. And after returning to Bombay, you know, in Chaupati, they organized one felicitation for Swami, some kind of reception after he returned. And I think Bhavan's College, you are right.
Munshi.
Dr. K. Munshi. In fact, he spoke and said, "See, Swami had gone for a Digvijayam to Africa and all that." And then Swami got up to speak. And what he wanted to say was, Swami wanted to say, after all, the whole world is my home. And different countries are like different rooms. Just because, you know, I go to one room, it is not anything big. And Kasturiji was standing at a distance. There is a photo also, you can see. Somewhere it is there. At a distance, actually. Mic is there, he has to translate.
Big stage.
And Swami said in Telugu, "Ee prapanchame naa illu." And then, you know, Kasturi to translate, he said, "The world is my mansion." And then Swami looked at him little angrily and said, "No, Kasturi." No, he ran to Swami. Midway they met. "Not world, universe." He said, "Universe is my mansion." Then he had to do. And many such incidents.
So that was Mr. B.N. Narasimhamurthy. And as he mentioned, Professor Kasturi was there with Swami in Africa and in Rishikesh. He was also with Baba when he went to Badrinath and Kashi. And Kashi being such an auspicious place, Professor Kasturi had one aspiration when he was in Kashi with Swami. And what was that aspiration? And how did Baba fulfill that?
And another thing with Kasturiji was, see, because of his Ramakrishna background, sometimes he had a desire that, you know, he should get initiation of mantram from Swami directly. And that was on North Indian tour where Kasturi also had gone with Swami. Kasturi wanted, especially in Kashi, because Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had seen, it seems, a vision where, you know, Shiva himself will come and whisper into the ears of those people who are dying the name of God. Shiva's name himself will whisper and grant them liberation.
In Kashi.
So Kasturi wanted to get that mantram from Swami. And that morning he went to Swami, "I want mantram from Swami." Swami said, "Yes, I'll give you mantram." So he skipped his breakfast because, you see, according to our tradition, you should get the mantram from the Guru on an empty stomach. So he didn't take his breakfast. And after Swami's breakfast, you know, devotees and all went to see the temples, and they went to university also on that day. Banaras Hindu University, and it was quite late, so I came back and arrangements were made for lunch. Now he is feeling very hungry. And more importantly, he is very sad that Swami didn't give him mantra. And Swami told him, "Sit there for lunch." He sat and almost he was in tears. Said, "What this, you know, since morning I was..." That day he didn't take his bath in the guest house. He went to Ganges River and had his bath, because today I am going to get the mantra. And Swami, you know, food was served and Swami told him, "Eat." And Papam, he really shed tears also on that day. And he gulped the food, and Swami didn't talk to him about it later. And they came back to Prashantilayam, and all the ashramates were called to the mandir. Those days that was the practice. Whenever Swami went out and came back, Swami himself will speak about the experiences. Swami will speak about what all happened outside. That day, you know, before Swami spoke, he asked Kasturi to speak. So Kasturi, you know, in his style, you know, he very nicely explained everything, and everybody was very happy. Then Swami got up and said, "There is one incident which he has forgotten to tell you. Probably he didn't tell you because he is the subject." Then he explained all this happened. And see, Kasturi is so close to me. And he asked for a mantra. And then Swami said this. Imagine somebody asking you for a mantra after having secured the one whom all mantras will promise you to secure. Swami said, "See, what do you get out of this mantra?" Then Swami asked him after that, it says, why do you want that mantra?" "Swami, I want to get close to Swami." "How much more closer you want to get to Swami?" He said. "And you're so close and you're not understood. See, all mantras will secure me for any person, and you already secured me, and what else? Why you want the mantra?"
So that was how Swami never lost an opportunity to train this beloved devotee. All these trips that Professor Kasturi went with Bhagwan not only gave him unimaginable opportunities of proximity, but also they unlocked the treasures that were within him. You heard Mr. B.N. Narasimhamurthy narrate about the Kashi incident. There is another very beautiful one which happened in Swami's trip to Badrinath, and his daughter Mrs. Padma Kasturi recalled this anecdote.
Kashi father had been with Swami. Swami always of course considered him as a family member also, his personal, because always some problems with his sisters had, they used to convey the message through father to Swami. And Swami also used to convey the message through father to his sisters, like that. He was like a family member. And there in Vishwanath temple, since when Swami's father and mother, Venkapa Raju and Ishwarama, they were doing Abhishekam with the Ganga pot, so Swami asked father also, "You also join them, you also hold the pot." So I think he made him the another member of his own family. Of course, Badri they went, my mother also followed him. And there when he went to that temple, Swami Badrinath went to temple now, when he took out the lingam and was doing Abhishekam and all that, Namaka, Chamaka, they were all repeating, those who knew that. But father was not familiar with those, Namakam, Chamakam. So immediately Swami says, "What, Swakasturi, you can't repeat? Oh, your whole life has been in ABCD. After coming back, father made it a point to learn that Namaka and Chamaka. He learned it. And every day, he and Mr. Kamadhanagaru both used to sit outside the bathroom, Swami's bathroom. And when Swami was taking bath, it was like Abhishekam, no? So they used to repeat Namaka every day in Puttaparthi, Namaka and Chamaka. And Swami was very happy that he learnt it. Then as soon as Swami came out to the bathroom, his father used to place the bilwa leaves, and it was like a actual Shiva.
So that was how determined he was. When Baba mentioned, how come that you do not know these mantrams, even though he was past his 60, almost his 60 rather, he took it to learn these mantras. And what a blessing Baba conferred. All these trips always meant more blessings. And in fact, after his Rishikesh trip with Swami, there was a huge bonanza of grace waiting for him. Swami now wanted to celebrate his 60th birthday. A priest arrived from Bukkapatnam, musicians came from Mysore, and many All India Radio fans and friends gathered from Bangalore. And complete with Vedic rituals, rich decoration and sacred music, there was no compromise on style or celebration in any manner. Swami allowed the fortunate couple to adorn his lotus feet with flowers one by one as they chanted the 1008 names of the Lord. And at the end, Baba's hand moved in circular motion, and out came a Mangala Sutra, the sacred necklace and a medallion, while Mr. Kasturi tied the golden thread around his better half's neck. She placed the golden pendant over his head, and the magnanimous Lord, standing in the middle, just shook his empty hand over their heads, and the next minute they were showered with rice grains, kumkum and haldi, all auspicious, all so sacred. Having savored his unmatched and unceasing love, and with his penchant for penning radio programs slowly tapering off, Kasturi now longed to return to his presence permanently, to stay in his ashram and to serve none but him. And at that time, there was an opportunity. That day did arrive in a matter of few weeks, when Baba, during a visit to Bangalore in 1958, saw Professor Kasturi in the house of Mr. Vittal Rao and said, "Now you have to work at Puttaparthi. A monthly magazine will start soon. Guess how is it named?" And then he himself revealed, Baba said, "Sanatana Sarathi." The ashram's mouthpiece, which was to carry his message to the multitudes, was instrumental in bringing another instrument into his proximity. He was instrumental in bringing this other beautiful instrument to his lotus feet to stay permanently in Prashantanilayam. And Kasturi's dream of living in Baba's presence materialized, and now truly every moment, every physical moment of his life from dawn to dusk was spent with the divine. And this completely changed his life, as his daughter Padma Kasturi recalls.
He had written about 40 books, I told you, so we had a big collection of books. But he didn't bring even one of his books to Puttaparthi. He said, "That's our Purvashrama. I don't want to bring anything here." He gave all the books to some library. Even now those people are asking me for some books because they want to reprint. But I don't have a copy of all those books. After coming here, he was writing something for Baba's journal. Suddenly one day he said, "What is this? I'm wasting my time to write something for the Bhavan's journal. No, this is too bad. I must spend my time only to serve Swami." He tore off all those papers. He was like that, always Swami, Swami, Swami. But when he came to Swami for the first one or two years, I think Swami was not very much in contact with him or talk, because those days my mother was very grieful, and no, because she lost her son. So Swami was always talking to my mother only. Then slowly Swami took my father into his fold, and he was very, very, very close, I can say. He was like a friend, their relation was something different. Every morning he used to go to Swami with bilwa leaves. Of course, that my mother used to collect the previous night itself. Bilwa leaves and tulsi, and she used to wash them and keep it in a cloth so that they will be dry, and father used to take that and keep it in Swami's feet and then bring it back. She will be just waiting for that Only that she will take her breakfast or coffee or anything there. So that even after bhajan also, Father spent a lot of time with Swami in those days.
So that was how Professor Kasturi's day started when he was in Prashantanilayam. You were listening to Mrs. Padma Kasturi, the daughter of Professor Kasturi. So every day his day began by offering to Swami Bilwa and Tulsi leaves, and after the conclusion of bhajans, which was around 8-9:30, again Professor used to go up to Mandir to his presence and return an hour or two later. And at this time Swami would generally discuss matters relating to the Sai organization, as the 60s and the 70s was a time when the organization was taking concrete shape, and once he returned, there would be people waiting for him to hear from the horse's mouth, as it were, pearls and gems of divine play and grace, and he would lovingly share too. Mrs. Janet Bicker, who along with her husband produced many films on Baba in 1960s and 70s, used to meet her often, and she says, Kasturi was enormously generous with his experiences of Swami and also extremely perceptive of his ways and words, and at the same time had a very, very sweet voice. When I would arrive after not being here for 2 years or more, she said, I would go to him and show him what I had been working on, the articles that I had been writing, and he would sweetly point out mistakes and say, it might be better, you know, if you probably took this approach. And it was just something that was extremely helpful to me personally and to the writing that appeared later in the many films that we did. These were the narrations for the films. And if you approached Professor Kasturi with your question, you would feel confident that you were getting an answer which Swami would be pleased or approve of. I therefore have many things to be thankful for to Professor Kasturi. This is what Mrs. Janet Bicker, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, had to say. In fact, the loving nature of Professor Kasturi was something which everyone who has met him talks about, thinks and feels and remembers about him. It was the same with Mr. Narasimha Murthy too.
When I met Kasturiji for the first time, I was only 19 years, and there were no strangers for him. Anybody could walk into his house. I remember that scene very graphically, sitting on a stool, you know, on an old typewriter. He will keep typing. He didn't know actually proper hand typing. He would keep doing that. And anybody could walk in and interrupt him. And so once I asked him, sir, with all this confusion, you know, how do you write? He said, I can write only in confusion. I got used to it. See, if everything is calm and quiet, I cannot write. And generally those days, you know, the devotees, even now it is like that, devotees had a kind of feeling, you know, if Swami doesn't speak to you or he will not call you for interview, you want to get interview from somebody close to Swami. So lot of people, foreigners, lot of people would visit him. There were no strangers for him, I tell you. Even if you go and meet him for the first time, he will not treat you as a stranger at all. He will not ask you what is your name also, unless you yourself at the end of the dialogue, at the end of your stay there, you have to tell him. He will first, he will only speak about Swami and the glory of Swami, the miracles.
If this was the experience of Mr. Narasimha Murthy, listen now to the story of Professor Anil Kumar, who later was blessed to don the shoes of Professor Kasturi, at least as far as the translation of Baba's discourses is concerned. Professor Kasturi, in those early days of Professor Anil Kumar's initiation to Bhagwan, was the guide and the mentor, and he encouraged the talent and the devotion that he saw in Professor Anil Kumar.
I know Sri Kasturi since 1970. Whenever I visit Prashantanilayam, I go to his residence, touch his feet, get his blessings, and then come to Mandir. What is it that has fascinated me was this. In the year 1970, when I came here for the first time with my family, 4 kids, the eldest was 5 years old. I was carrying youngest in my arms. Well, I was moving about on the campus. The children wanted water. They were thirsty. But all were busy going into the mandir. But what to do? Where to get water? Nobody. Everyone seems to be busy. Kasturiji started coming out of his residence. I said, "Sir, I'm professor from the Christian College at Guntur. My children want water. I know it's time for darshan. You have to go there." He said, "Miss Anil, giving water to your children is more important than the usual darshan," he said. After serving water, he said, "This is service to Swami. Such acts will please him," he said it. I can never forget in my life. Which is not only the message of his life, it is also a message to me and to our Sai brethren and sisters all over the world.
So that is the experience of Professor Anil Kumar. Helping and serving is something which was so much a part of his personality. This was something he was born with, which also got enriched when he joined the Ramakrishna Mission. Spontaneous, selfless service and empathy were as natural to Professor Kasturi as fragrance is to a flower. And it is such beautiful gem of a devotee that the Lord loved, and the way Swami not only drew him, which we heard, but the way he chiseled him, and we allowed the blossoming, the complete blossoming of his personality, is something which is absolutely fascinating. And there are very, very beautiful instances where Swami, as a strict divine master, chiseled this diamond of a devotee. And we will talk about this in the future episodes of this program, and also about his literary talent and how he used every God-gifted talent and offered them at his lotus feet. And also the most powerful moments of his life were his final moments. There are very, very scintillating and very, very uplifting tales from his life that we all should know about, should read about. And that is what we will do in future episodes of this program. There is so much to his life. And even though we have done two programs of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside, we have only scratched the surface. We will probably never do justice to everything that he has written. But we will definitely take up some more very, very salient aspects and some anecdotes which are not recorded by him in Loving God or in Satyam Sundaram. So that is coming up in the future episodes of this program. For now, let's wind up with a letter that Baba wrote to students on New Year Day on 1st Jan 1974. Swami said, "Happiness is an internal conscious experience which comes as an effect of the extinction of mental or physical desire. The lesser the desire, the greater the happiness. Life is an experience meant to train the individual for a higher, deeper and expanded state of existence through the experience of the results of action. The aim of everybody's life is the attainment of complete perfection in the spiritual absolute." And as you listen more to the life of Professor Kasturi, you will know how Swami trained and prepared Professor Kasturi towards this goal of complete perfection in the spiritual absolute. And through Professor Kasturi's life, Swami is now preparing all of us. As 2013 dawns, let us remember, dear listeners, as the new year has arrived, let us never forget that if there's anything that can give us true happiness, anything that can grant us joy, anything that can make our life an endless celebration, it is allowing God to enter our lives and take over completely. Let us let go of our past in this very instant and create for ourselves a life where every moment is spent doing every act as an offering to Him, be it singing bhajans in the temple or performing our duties at our workplace or doing our chores at home or attending to responsibilities of our family and our relatives or serving the homeless during a weekend. Anything that we do, let us offer it at His feet. Let us start a new chapter in our life where the header of its every page says, "For God I live," and the footer of this page says, "To God I dedicate. Dear listeners, I leave you with this thought of love and dedication and surrender to the Lord. It's 9:54 and I have to bring the curtain down on the live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. I hope we will continue this story on Professor Kasturi in future episodes of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Do tell us what you feel about this program. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org, listener@radiosai.org. And now, even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by the Bal Vikas children from Bihar and Jharkhand. This was presented in front of Bhagwan on March 23rd, 2008. It is entitled Bhakta Shabari. Listen to this. Bhakta Shabari's life is again another saga of complete surrender and love and devotion and dedication. Let us suffuse ourselves with these noble virtues and make ourselves a flute, a simple, humble, egoless being through which the Lord can breathe the sweet saga of His love and His message. Let us be little sighs, bringing happiness to everyone around. Thank you so much. And Jai Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam.